Wednesday the 2nd of September, Yud Gimel Elul, Rabbi Jonathan Rieti, Elul, time out with my therapist.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The original title was 1-800 Almighty, but I understand you don't have 1-800 numbers in England, is that right?
You, yes, but not with me.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. So, we're going to talk a little bit about Elul and Teshuvah. As you know, there are 40 days between the beginning of Elul till Yom Kippur, which is a time of transformation. We mentioned last night the letter Mem, which is Gematria 40, has many examples throughout the Torah where 40 denotes change. The Mabul is transformation from a world of corruption to a new world order. You have 40 years in the Midbar. The Jewish people are transforming from being nation of slaves to Pare, to Avde Hashem. Then you have 40 days and nights on Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah. That's transformation. The world is 2,000 years of Tohu, and now God gives us His instructions for the world, to the Jewish people. Wherever you have the number 40, it's always denotes transformation. Hemalkut, that's 40 lashes. Hopefully the person will change after 39. And you also have the mikveh, which a person enters, tameh, comes out transformed, tahor. So there is a segula, a magic if you want to call it that, something that perhaps we don't understand fully, but works anyway. That the number 40 really does give us the opportunity to switch from whatever it is I want to change in appreciation for my spouse, or love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognition that Hashem loves me, that's probably the greatest change possible. All this is part of this 40-day period. And so it's Mesugal, it has a special power. It's not just the anniversary of the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, procuring our Salachti Kidvarecha, I have forgiven you as you have requested. But rather, it's not so much an anniversary, but an actual time which contains in it special Siyata Shemaya, that much more divine assistance in being able to move forward. As Chazal tell us, it's analogous to God knocking on my door every day, every morning, every night, wanting to get in because He wants an intimacy with me. He wants a real relationship with myself. And therefore, 40 days of talking to Hashem. In the words of the Ben Ishchai, he claims the essence of a human being. Today's his Yahrzeit, so we'll mention something in his... he doesn't need any schuss, I don't think, but we'll say anyway. He mentions that the essence of Adam is that we are a mitpalel. Someone who... Well, I'm going to use the Christian translation, please forgive me. So we know what we're talking about. Unfortunately, we borrow a lot from the King James Bible. We'll use the word prayer. Mitpalm is someone who prays. It doesn't actually mean that. Good Hebrew in this dictionary will reveal that what is the three-letter root of mitpalel, of tefillah? Palel, which means what? A little bit louder, sorry.
Moving.
Palel? It's a three-letter root for?
Moving.
What are palilim? Pele is a wonder. What are Pelilim? Judges. Palel means to judge. Lehit Palel is reflexive, which means when God commands us to pray, what He's actually asking me to do, and if we just ignore the Christian translation for a few moments, I hope no one's offended by that, then Lefi Chazal, Lehit Palel means to judge myself. And in a good English Hebrew dictionary, we will discover that the word palel means to come to a decision with what a judgment is. The process that leads up to a decision is a debate. You start with an argument, a discussion, back and forth. Shall I concentrate on the class? Shall I think about my Sukkot holiday in Las Vegas, California, wherever we're going? No one here, of course, would ever go there. But here we are. Here we are. What am I focusing on? And I go backwards and forwards. Every judgment, every decision we make in life is the result of a process. And what is that process? Debate. Contrasting the differences. Comparing the similarities. And through that come to a clarity, which then leads to a result. It's interesting, in Hebrew, the most powerful way to make a decision is lahachlit. And that really means to cut off. Because a real decision is not really a total commitment until I've cut off all other options. As long as I entertain and go back into doubt, maybe it's okay, and then I start reinvestigating, exploring the options, then I haven't made a total decision. So lehit palel means to judge myself, decide for myself, as a result of a process of debate and clarification. So it's rather interesting, claims the Ben Ish Chai, this is actually the essence of a human being. And if we think about it, every waking moment of our lives, we are doing exactly that. We are thinking through a process of back and forth, discussion in our minds, debating, and trying to focus, remain in a decision. This is what I'm focusing in on right now. So it's a decision, it's a judgment. Now, why does the Ribbono Shel Olam give me a mitzvah to mitpalel? I don't want to use the word pray anymore now that we've clarified. If it's about judging me, but surely I'm supposed to be praying to God, asking Him, praising Him, making requests, thanking Him. So what's this about judgment of myself? It should be, I'm praying to God. Well, that is what I'm doing. But what am I doing? I'm judging myself in God's presence. Elul is a 40-day period up until Yom Kippur of judging myself in God's presence, which actually I'm doing all year round, every waking second of my life. The difference is, am I recognizing Hitpalel Lashem, judging myself in God's presence, or am I not aware, and therefore I'm making decisions not including God in the process? So 1-800 Almighty, the ultimate therapist, is am I including Hashem in my life when I judge myself and the situation I'm in with my marriage, with this kid, with my health, with my finances, with my career, with my personal growth, my spiritual growth? To what extent am I talking to God and including Him, asking Him, help me? What is probably the biggest sabotage of my talking to God? That I don't believe He really cares. Why? Why should He not really care? Because I'm not deserving. If you really knew my relationship with my spouse, with my children, how I am in private, you would agree, God should not listen to my tefillahs. I'm not deserving of His compassion, His rahamim. Rahamim comes three letters from rahim. Rahim is a womb. The womb is the ultimate place of rahamim. Because a child did what to deserve comfort, insulation, food fed through their stomach, through the navel? What did the child do? Nothing. Deserves nothing. And yet receives everything at a matnat chinam. A complete, total, free gift. Rahamim means going beyond what's deserved. Way beyond what. I'm owed nothing. God owes me nothing. And especially if I look at the mistakes I've made in my life, in my marriage, with my children, not taking care of my health, or certain ta'avot, certain cravings that I have not been in control of, I could easily come to the false conclusion that God doesn't love me and I'm not deserving of His love. And therefore, it will sabotage the extent to which I plead and beg and ask Him, please Hashem, I still want a relationship with You, even though You know my Lashon Hara, even though You know that I'm not always appreciative and kind and loving and giving and generous and considerate and forgiving and understanding of my spouse, of my kids, of myself. That's the biggest sabotage. But comes along the Ben Ish Chai and tells us the essence of Adam is a mitpalel. I'm here to be in judgment, decision-making, as a process of debate, with my Creator. And he opens up the word Adam and asks, spell out each letter. Aleph, Dalet Mem. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. Dalet, Dalet Lamed Taf. Mem, Mem, Mem. If you spell out those letters, you will find that it spells out Adam. That's the first letter of each of those three letters. And then the Otiot, the other letters, combine and equal the word Mitpalel. The essence, the DNA of Adam, the spiritual chemistry of a human being, is that I was created to be in a relationship with God through judging myself, deciding for myself in His presence. And Elul through to Yom Kippur is the most powerful time of the entire year for me to plug into that relationship. So let's look at a few examples of how I sabotage myself. We're coming up to Yom Kippur. This is a time of Teshuvah. One of the two mitzvot throughout Tariyag, out of 613, if you had to select two which clearly demonstrate God expects me to foul up, to mess up, to make mistakes, which two mitzvot would you select?
Honoring your parents is a hard one.
Honoring parents is a chamurot shebachamurot, the hardest. But which two mitzvot might you select that demonstrate God expects me to make mistakes? The fact that he... Teshuvah. He's giving me a mitzvah of correcting myself. What's the predicate behind the mitzvah to do Teshuvah? What do I have to do first before I can do Teshuvah?
Mitzvah. Admit the mistake.
I have to make a mistake. Then come to admission of it. So, the very fact that God gives me a mitzvah of Teshuvah means He's expecting me to make mistakes. In the words of Shlomo HaMelech, wisest of all men, Ein tzadik ba'aretz she'aseh tov. There's no such thing as a tzadik who's so good, he only does good. Ve'lo yechta, never makes a mistake. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that lists five, I think it's four, but the Gilin HaShas adds one more. There are five tzadikim gamurim that only died because of the chet ha-nachash, but on their own didn't make any mistake which would have been deserving of death. So Tosfot there explains that when Shlomo HaMelech says Ein tzaddik, there is no such thing as a tzaddik she'aseh tov ve'lo yechta. That's talking about the vast, vast majority. You've got five exceptions, that's it. So God expects me to mess up. And the second mitzvah of Tariyag, which clearly demonstrates God expects me to mess up, is... Are those still awake? Think Teshuvah, what's the ultimate day of Teshuvah? Yom Kippur. Why did he set aside a whole day for me to do Teshuvah? A whole day! Oh, he's expecting me to make mistakes during the rest of the year. There are other mitzvot that you could select that also demonstrate almost every korban. But here's where it gets interesting. If God expects me to make mistakes and not be perfect, the question is not... Will God forgive me if I do Teshuvah? The question is, do I believe I'm deserving of His forgiveness? Because maybe I think I've gone too far. What's the worst possible mistake that a human being could make? Kill someone. Kill someone by mistake. Look at the way the Torah deals if someone kills another Jew by mistake. What's the consequence? He has to run to the nearest city of safety, Ari Miklat, and once it's determined that indeed it was without intent to kill, then he remains there till the Kohen Gadol dies. Interesting. When David HaMelech looked at this mitzvah, in Gemara Makot, Daf Yud, he comes out with the following statement. He said, Tov v'yashar Hashem. You know what you are, God? You're good. And you're straight. You're just. Why? Because here is a Jew who was not deserving of this chut, the merit, to protect him from the worst possible mistake, removing another person's life. He was not deserving of that protection. How good is God? How just is He? Tov yashar Hashem, al ken yorech hata'im baderech. Therefore, you direct those who make mistakes in reference to someone who killed b'shogeg. Baderech, because there's a mitzvah, one of the tag mitzvot, is that in Eretz Yisrael, where there were six, well, three on, in Eretz Yisrael, three on the other side of the Jordan, there were Ari Miklat, And there had to be signs. Beit Din was responsible for placing signs at every single junction so that if someone killed inadvertently, would be able to find his way as fast as possible to the nearest Arim Miklat before the Goel Adam, that one of the relatives might rightfully take his life in revenge for taking his relative's life. Al Kain, therefore, Yerech Hatan Baderech, concludes the Gemara there, if God is so good to Chatayim of this degree, Kol Shekein LeTzadikim, how much more so for those beyond Achaita, Beinanim, Tzadikim. God expects me to mess up, and look how he provides for the worst possible mess up. God loves me even when, Has V'Shalom, I make the worst mistakes. He accepts me even when... Why does he do that? Because he's hoping that in the time that I'm in the Arim Miklat, or the person's got the rest of the year before Elul, I can still change. The only person I was created to change. Let me give you an example. Pirkei Avot, Perek Bet, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Chazal tell us, Al ti rasha b'fnei atmach. I should not be a rasha in my own eyes. Says the Rambam, because if I do, Rambam on that Mishnah, if I do, yatsa l'tarbut ra l'gamri. If I believe I'm a rasha, then what standard will I hold myself to? I'm bad anyway, so what do bad... there's no chance I'll ever change. I can never get rid of this addiction. I just can't try so it doesn't work. And then I will give up, and God forbid, fall away completely, because I don't believe I'm deserving of God's kindness, love, compassion, rahmin. So, comes along Chazal, and warned me, I should not be a rasha in my own eyes. Let me give you a simple example that I think illustrates this very powerfully. See, it's not about, will God accept me? The question really is, do I accept me? Do I still love me after I've made a mistake? No matter how far I may have fallen, no matter what my mistakes are, bittul Torah, bittul Simcha, bittul talking to God, 1-800 Almighty, my ultimate therapist. So let me share with you. You have a child. I'm going to offer you two options. Child makes a mistake. It was very chutzpahdik, very, very defiant. Comes up to dad, I'm really sorry. I can't believe I said that. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me, please, dad? Sure, son. I forgive you. No problem. Oh, thanks, dad. Thanks. Option number two. Dad, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I said that to you. Please forgive me. Will you forgive me, dad? Of course, son. I forgive you. No, dad. You can't possibly forgive me. I'm such a rough. I do not deserve it. I can't. I'm such a terrible person. Son, I forgive you. No, dad. It's not. I'm not deserving it. I can't believe I did. I'm so undeserving. Now, how many parents say, you know, this is so wonderful. I'm so glad you're taking this to heart. Or, you know, get out of it. Get over it. Move on. Is there any parent that you know that would be thrilled that their child is beating themselves up to the point of depression and doesn't believe that they are deserving of mum, dad's forgiveness? It's obvious to us. Of course I don't want my kids to take it that badly. Wants me to move forward. Am I any different? Barnimatem, Lashem Elokechem. You are my children. Machloket, in the Gemara Kiddushin between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Usually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. But in this case, the Rishonim tell us we paskin like Rabbi Meir. And what is that? The machloket is when Hashem says, Barnimatem, Lashem Elokechem. You are my children. Is it a conditional statement? Meaning, when you behave like my child, then that's my kid. But if I misbehave, no, that's not my kid. Rabbi Yehuda says it's conditional. I'm behaving as a Jew should. Rabbi Meir says, Ben kach or ben kach. Whether I act like God's child or not, Bani Matem, you're still my children. He gives, I think, five different psukim, which when you look through the psukim, the Mefarshim explain, why am I given five different verses? What's wrong with one? Why wasn't one enough? Because each pasuk gives a different level of avirot, of violation against God. Whether it's the worst, avodah zarah, arayut, promiscuity, idol worship, the worst. And each time, the verse indicates God still calls me his child. And we paskin according to Rav Meir in that case. that Hashem loves me no matter what. No matter how far a Jew has fallen. Let me share with you the following. What do you think God is more interested in? The essential mistake I make, its clinical severity, how bad it is, or how I respond to the mistake I've made? Number two. God is less interested in the actual nature of the violation than the act, than the way I respond to it. The Yetzer Hara, what is he more interested in? The severity of it, or how I respond to it. He's also interested in how I respond, but what type of response does he want? He wants me to believe there's no chance God will ever forgive me for this. I've done it too many times. You know what? What's the point in Lashon Hara? Anyway, I've done it so many times, I just don't see myself changing. And therefore, I weaken, slack, and I don't hold myself to that much of a high standard. The Yetzer Hara is more interested in me giving up than me starting again and again and again. Here is an interesting question. How do you say why in Lashon HaKodesh? Lama. Is there any other way you can say why in Lashon HaKodesh? Madua. Now why do you have two ways of saying why? Lashon HaKodesh is a perfect language. It created reality. Baruch Sha'amar V'Haya Olam. Creation exists and was dictated because of God's word. The Otiyot, the letters of the alphabet, creates reality. So why do we have two whys? And the answer is because there's two whys. I can either say Madua, which is the Lashon Da. The two-letter root, Da, means information, knowledge. Give me the information, give me the knowledge that enables me to understand how, historically, chronologically, the sequence of events unfolded to why it's the way it is. Why do I have to go through such a difficult marriage? Why did this child turn out this way? And I start pointing fingers at who is responsible for... You are the one that raised the kid this way! I'm telling you, it's your fault! But here's the problem. There are two whys. Madua sends me into which time zone? Future, present, or past? Past. Sends me into the past. Lama is a totally different why. Lama. What does lama, does a prefix mean? Two. Or four. Two means direction. Four means purpose. Lama. For what? To what? For what purpose? To what possible benefit, blessing? Is this taking place? Or has this happened? I could spend a life with a human therapist Maduing, Madua, Madua, why me, why me, why me? And I can analyze this for a long time. How many light bulbs does it take to change a dyslexic? how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? It takes one therapist. It takes a long time. And the light bulb has to want to change. I will only change if I really want to. And if I remain focused on Madua, why? Oh, it's my wife, it's my husband, it's my children, my parents, it's my mother-in-law. Just swallowing, sorry. I blame and complain and accuse and deny and excuse why it's everyone else's fault. Madua, Madua, Madua. Why me? Why me? Why me? And God says, what a waste of energy. Why did he create me? Madua is only useful if it provides a lesson that can propel me into the now and the future. Otherwise, I should not be going there. Waste of time. Lama makes sense. For what? What will I take with me? How could this possibly be of benefit? You know, people who have, Rahman al-Salam, fallen to terrible addictions. Guess who is the best possible person to help them? Someone who's been there themselves. So you have two types of therapists in serious addictions. Those who are trained, and then those who are trained, who themselves recovered Because then it's min bimino. They fully understand and appreciate the real struggle to get beyond that addiction. Lama, for what? Is it possible that you put me through what I've been through to be more sensitive, appreciative, understanding of others? So let me share with you. Where is the first time in the Torah that Maharal tells us, whenever you have a story or anything that is in its first appearance in the Torah, all the details, the DNA, spiritual chemistry, all the mechanics of that item, be it a concept or in story form, everything is contained there in that story. Where's the first time we see depression as a response to feeling rejected by my Creator? I'll never have a relationship with my Creator. I'm not deserving of a relationship with my Creator. Cain. When Cain brings an offering. Brilliant idea. It wasn't born from the best place because it was the leftovers of his crops, wondering what to do with it. So he brings the carbon to Hashem. Hevel gam hu evi. He also brought it. He saw, oh, that is a good idea. And he brings from the best shearings of his sheep. And what does God do? Accepts Hevel's carbon and rejects Cain. And what's Cain's response to being rejected? What does he do? Well, he eventually kills his brother. What happened in between? A whole dialogue. God, the Almighty, speaks directly to Cain. And he says to him, well, what was Cain's response first? What was his Cain's response? Vayimiketz yamim, vayave Cain, mipri adam, aminchel Hashem, vehevel hevi gamhu mipchayr esenoi, umichel vehen. Vayisha Hashem, God accepted el hevel vel minchasai, his carbon, vel Cain vel minchasai loisha. Now what's Cain's response? Vayicha lekain meoid. He was exceedingly angry. Vayin blew panav, and his faces fell. He was so dejected. No matter what good joke you told him, could not pick himself up. No matter what good joke, I'll give you one. Boy says to girl, will you marry me? She says, no. They lived happily ever after. Boy says to girl, will you marry me? She said, yes. The end. No matter what you told Cain, he would not pick himself up. His face was totally dejected. Vayomer Hashem el Cain. Whoa! God speaks to Cain. What's he going to say? Lama haralach. Why are you angry? V'lama naflu fanecha. Why have your faces fallen? Rabbeinu Shleim. What do you mean, why? What a question. Read your own pasuk. What does it say? What pasuk before? You rejected his carbon. No wonder he's angry. Of course he feels low. He's angry. He's upset. He's depressed. That's not what God asked. He didn't say Madua. He said Lama. Twice. Lama Haralach. Belama Naflu Fanecha. For what? Where will the anger lead? Where will the depression lead? It's a choice. I choose how to respond to what goes through my life. And God wants me to pick myself up. And he says, Halayim Tated, if you want to correct yourself, if you want to do the right thing, says, elevate yourself. Vim Lightated, but if you don't correct yourself, Lepeta Hatat Ravitz, the Yetzihara is crouched, waiting to pounce. Eilecha, against you. Veilecha Chukato. He's craving to destroy you with depression, with anger. And what's God's closing words? The Ata. You, Cain, Tim Shalba. You can control. You can be in control of the Yetzirah. You are in control. Because I've given the greatest gift to man. The ability to change my mind. Change what I think. To be more appreciative, loving, giving, generous, considerate, sensitive, understanding, compassionate. Because that's what God wants from me, because that's how He is with me. He wants me to behave as a child who knows that if I come and earnestly, honestly, sincerely, genuinely ask, Tati, Ima, forgive me, what parent wouldn't, if they sense our sincerity? They don't want me to beat myself up. There's much more to be said on this important subject. I'll close with the following conclusions. The word Aveira correctly translates as violation. but it's the Lashon Avar. What does Avar mean? The past. Contained in the word Avera is the ingredient that helps me understand. How does God want me to deal with my Avera? It's the past! It's history! Move on! Even the word chet correctly means a mistake. It doesn't mean a sin. That's a Christian translation. Chet means off target. I made a mistake. Just have to get it right next time. And if I miss up, start again and start again. Even Rambam, in his halachas and the close, Mahi atashuva, hu shi'azu v'achote cheto, it's letting go of the sin, the mistake. V'yasiru m'machshavato, take it out of my mind, stop thinking about the avera. V'yikmo bilibo, and conclude in my heart, in my mind, shalo yaseu od, not to do it again. And here's the pasuk that he quotes. Shenema ki afrei shuvi nachamti, after I did teshuva, I regret it. What do you mean after? Surely regret comes before teshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah explains to Rambam. There's regret that comes before teshuva, which is the Yetzer Hara. Beat me up, beat me up, beat me up. And then there's regret which comes after teshuva, which pushes me further and further away from the Avera. When I regret before I've done teshuva, that's not the Yetzer Tov. That's me and my Yetzer Hara working on Madua. Why? And pushing me further away from God, not believing I'm deserving of this. The right time for regret is after I've done teshuvah, because then I will be pushed further and propelled further away from the Avera. This subject deserves much more, but we'll close in a 20 minute on quick joke. Marriage or children, which do you prefer? What? Okay. Here's one. The Mossad had just finished selecting 1,000 candidates for its new assassin, top assassin. And the last three that were screened in is two men and a woman. First man walks in, and they give him his assignment. Take this gun. In that room is your wife, sitting on a chair. Go inside, shoot and kill her. He takes the gun. Before he gets into the room, he says, I can't do this, I'm married 23 years, I had no gun. You haven't got the guts, get out of here. They pull in the second guy, same instructions. Goes in the room, comes out, I just can't do it, you haven't got the medal, get out of here. They call in their lady, and she says, and they say to her, here's a gun, your husband is sitting in a chair in that room over there. Go inside, shoot and kill him. She takes the gun, goes inside, close the door. Bang, 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 bang! Silence. Screams, screams, smash, crash, screams, silence. She comes out of the room with the gun and says, this silly gun was filled with blanks! I would have beat him to death with a chair! God loves us, no matter what I mess up, it's never too late.